Well, we thank the Lord this morning for another opportunity to be here and worship Him. I was thinking about that song you just sung, Living by Faith. You ever heard the term exercise your faith? You ever heard exercising your faith? How many of us in here has ever exercised a part of their body they haven't used for a while? How do you feel the next day? It hurts, huh? Kind of sore. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to exercise our faith to the point where we feel some results. They have a saying out there that says, no pain, no gain. Lord wants us to trust Him. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? So, Lord, help us to exercise that. Lord, help us to believe, have faith in God. I want to talk about something we've talked about many, many times over the years. I want to talk about the thoughts, the mind. In the course of a day, the Lord makes His appeal to us, and the devil makes his appeals. The mind's an amazing thing. It's a computer. God is an intelligent God, and He made man intelligent to be able to process information. And that's what the mind does, is process information. I don't want to talk so much about what you think, but I want us to think about how we are thinking. What motivates us to think the way that we think? It is always, and we don't even maybe always realize it, but it is always something from without that influences the way that we handle ourselves. I've often said many times the patriarchs of old that were faithful to what God had given them to do, they weren't any greater men than you and I are, but it was the way they handled the circumstances, their response to God, that made them successful. In all of our thoughts and things that come our way, things that we deal with, I think our greatest job is to keep evil out of our hearts. We're going to have thoughts. Sometimes they pop up and you say, where did that one come from? Wasn't even ready for it. Thoughts aren't something we sit there and try to maybe think of new thoughts, but they just come. And you wonder sometimes where they came from. My job is to keep that thought from getting down into my heart and having an influence in my heart and in my life. But I was thinking about what created some people to think the way that they do. If I could speak of a few people, Bible characters here for just a minute or two. I thought about Samson. I went over there and refreshed my memory of some of his early beginnings. You know, Samson was a Nazarite. He was given to the Lord. The Lord had his hand on him, but nevertheless, Samson had his thoughts. One of the thoughts at the very early part of his life that he had was he had the thought because he went someplace he probably shouldn't have went. He went down into the Philistines there, and the children of Israel were subject to the Philistines at that time. And he went down to the Philistines and he found a little woman. He found a woman and he came back and he told his father and mother, and he says, I want you to go get her and bring me her for my wife. In those days, the fathers and the mothers got together and set up those kind of things. And his dad said, son, why can't you find someone among our own people? Why do you have to go down there and find someone among the Philistines? He said, she pleases me and I want you to go get her for me. Well, what they didn't realize is the Lord was behind that. The Lord was behind what Samson was getting ready to do, because Samson was a judge in Israel and God was going to use him in some mighty ways. So really it was God behind what Samson was doing. But the point is, Samson had thoughts that you and I maybe shouldn't have in our walk with the Lord. He had desires. His thoughts turned into desires, and he wanted something, and that it grieved his father and probably his mother very greatly, that he wanted something that they didn't feel like he should want. But he had that desire to do that. I think about Judas. Judas had some desires too, didn't he? I can't even imagine what kind of thoughts ran through his mind to cause him to want to turn Jesus over to the authorities. We'll say it that way. I can't imagine what thoughts, why those thoughts going through his mind. But I know what promoted those thoughts. The Bible said he was covetous. He had some desire. He loved money. So I know what caused his thought process to get him where he finally got to when he betrayed our Savior. And so covetousness is what moved Peter, caused him to have things, thoughts that he shouldn't have had. The thing of it is, if he'd have got the covetousness out of his heart, he wouldn't have had those thoughts, would he? So the covetousness is what influenced Judas to do what Judas did. And then I think about Peter. Peter loved the Lord. I'm convinced of that. Jesus loved him. But what is it that caused him to follow afar off when they arrested Jesus and took him into the temple to try him? The Bible says Peter followed afar off. And when they questioned him and said, you're one of them, you were with him, and he denied it, didn't he? We all know the story. He denied it three times. What caused Peter's thought? How did his mind get to that place where he would actually, I don't even know, I can't even say that he was willing, but he did do what he did. And he had three opportunities to change the way that he handled it, didn't he? You know what? Do you know what was behind Peter's thoughts? It was fear. He had a fear of man. He had a fear of what would happen to him if he was exposed, if he claimed to be one of them. Peter had some fear that he had to deal with. And probably every one of us, in one form or another, in one element or another, we have fear. Fears that we have to deal with. So we got to be careful what prompts or promotes our thoughts. And the Bible tells us how to handle those kind of things. But I want to go on down and talk about Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was obedient. I can't imagine what kind of thoughts went through his mind when the Lord told him to take his only son and sacrifice him. You and I, it's beyond our understanding. The Lord told him to take his son and sacrifice him on the altar. I don't know what kind of thoughts he had, but the Bible tells me that he did it. And I think the thing that drove Abraham and caused him to do what he did was obedience. He wanted to obey God. Lord, help us this morning that our desire will be to obey God. That it won't, our desires won't be to the things of the world. The things that would cause us to go the wrong direction, but our desires would be heavenward. And our desires would be to God. Think about David. When he went out to meet that giant, when his brothers and all of the young men, the soldiers in the army, standing there trembling on their side of the hill, David ran out ran out to meet Goliath with a slingshot, 5 smooth stones. I don't know what went through his mind. I don't know his thought process. But I believe what prompted David to go out there and have the courage to face the giant was that he trusted in the living God. It was the living God, he said, that man is defying. He trusted in God, and that gave him the courage. It gave him the strength to go and meet him on a dead run. And he said, he's delivered the lion and the bear, and he's going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine in my hand. David trusted God. Lord, help us today. David and Abraham didn't have the Holy Spirit. Jesus hadn't come and paid the sacrifice in their day. You and I have something greater. We have a greater responsibility to be faithful to the Lord. Whatever prompts us to think the things that we think. I think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He tells us in his writings that he was a prisoner of love. Why did he go do the things that he did? Why did he face the things that he had to face and perils of his own countrymen and shipwreck and all those things? Why did he face it? Because he loved God. And he felt he loved God so much he felt a prisoner of God's love. And he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. I don't know what he thought when he got in those places. Folks, they were just human like you and I. We have our thoughts. We have our concerns. I've been in some dangerous circumstances in my travels and experiences, and I have my thoughts. But folks, what is going to promote me or cause me to have the thoughts that I ought to have? I need to have love. I need to have trust. And I need to have obedience instilled already in place. Already in place in my heart that when these thoughts come, that I'll be able to deal with them in the proper way. Think about Christ. The Bible says he knew who he was. He knew he had come from God and he was going back to God. Jesus, they wanted to throw him off the cliff. They said he cast out devils in the name of devils. They said all kinds of things about him. They eventually did take his life. I don't know what kind of humanity thoughts that he had. But I want to say one thing about Jesus and why he went through what he went through. Because he was faithful. He was faithful. He came to do a work and he was determined that he was going to do that work. And ever how he processed the thoughts that came into his mind, he was determined to be faithful. Bible says something about the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Folks, he looked down to our day. He saw you and I. He saw our souls that was headed to eternity and the glory that was set before him. He was faithful to go to the cross. Death wasn't any easier for him in the flesh than it would be for you and I, but he was faithful. And I think you can take all the above. Abraham's obedience, David's trust, and Paul's love. And you can put all that in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that today. Oh, we enjoy what we enjoy because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read now, turn over to the familiar scriptures. In the Philippians, the 4th chapter. In the 4th verse. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Always. In the good times, in the bad times. When wife and I walked into the surgery waiting area there at the hospital Friday, when I first saw Brother Matt and Sister Sarah, I went up to them and I said, you know, the Lord gave me a song. I said, the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God is still God. Sarah looked at me and she said, she calls me Dad. She said, I'm her adopted dad. But anyway, she said, Dad, that's exactly the song that I've been singing. The God of the darkness is the God of the night. Or the God of the light is the God of the darkness. No matter how serious things get, no matter how bad things get, God is still God. And folks, it is up to you and I individually on how we handle our thought processes when the dark times come or when things just don't look so good and we're looking on things when we should be looking on God. And you can rejoice if you're looking on God. You can rejoice in the bad times because He's still God. No matter what happens to me, we have too many promises. And of course, y'all know my favorite, I'll be with you always. Folks, He's going to be with me in the bad times. He's going to be with me when it doesn't look good. He's going to be with me when I don't understand. Because I know His ways are higher than my ways and His thoughts than my thoughts. I know those things because the Bible tells me so. And I believe it. So Paul, I believe Paul believed it too. I believe that's what got him through his ministry, folks. Because he was a man. He suffered some things, had that thorn in the flesh. All kinds of things that he went through. But he tells you and I, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Always. Lord, help us to be able to do that. And he said, again, I say unto you, rejoice. Can you praise the Lord in the bad times? Can you praise the Lord in the difficult times? When you don't understand? As Dr. James Dobson wrote a book one time, said, when God doesn't make sense. Have you ever had God not make sense? Well, Lord, this don't make sense. I don't understand why you allowed this to happen. I don't understand why we're going through it. It don't make sense. Rejoice always. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. Because God is faithful. And He will keep His promises to each and every one of us. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Praise the Lord. I don't know altogether if Paul meant the Lord's coming, and He is, but the Lord's always at hand. You know, what an amazing God. I mean, there's just a handful of us here, but when you get in your distresses and when you get in, you have your issues of life, God is with you and He's with me over there at the same time. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, isn't He? And He has all power in heaven and earth, and I believe that today. Be careful, Lord, help us now. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The command, as difficult as it may be for us, is not to worry about anything. That's the command. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But when you have things to deal with, it doesn't mean you just throw caution to the wind and you don't have some serious decisions to make and those kind of things. It means turn it over to the Lord. You know, I mentioned here 2 or 3 weeks ago, prayer is bringing your will into the submission of the will of God. That's what prayer is. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And folks, if you haven't got your will submitted to the will of God, you need to pray more. You need to pray more. In everything, with prayer and with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I'm trying to give you a little bit of the recipe of what it's going to take for you and I to handle these thoughts that come to our mind and how that we deal with them. There is no doubt everybody here knows the enemy will impose his thoughts on us in every way that he can, and especially in the dark times and especially in the night times. The enemy wants to come along and impose himself on us and bring thoughts that we don't even really want to think about. Well, that's what he does. That's what he does. Paul went on some more. And he said, the peace of God. Oh, thank the Lord today for the peace of God. You know, the world doesn't know what that is. The world doesn't have peace today. There's unrest everywhere. There's unrest in our communities. There's unrest in our cities. There's unrest in our country. There's unrest in the world. There's unrest in families and in homes. The devil has gotten into all those things to take away people's peace. Do you have peace today? You want to sell it? No, you want to hold on to it, don't you? You can't sell it if you want to, but you don't want to lose it. He said, and the peace of God passeth all understanding. That peace, Lord, I don't understand. I'm in the midst of this fiery furnace. I don't know what's going to come out of this, but thank God I have peace because I know you're in control. And I know you've allowed this for a purpose. And you've allowed this for a reason. Oh, it says the peace of God will guard your heart. It'll guard your mind too, folks. It'll guard your mind too. The peace of God that we can't, it's beyond our understanding. Peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Paul didn't say that. Jesus did. Jesus did. Oh, folks, this thing's real to me. The older I get, the more that I endeavor to follow the Lord, this thing becomes more real to me all the time. That I know, I remember Brother Mark preaching a message years ago. He was reading some scripture and he said, I want to give you a recipe. Folks, there is a recipe for how you and I can be successful in our walk with the Lord. Right here in the Word of God. There's a recipe if we'll just look for it. If we'll just search for it. And we'll humble ourselves before God. I want to tell you folks that no matter what we go through, and I may face some things tomorrow or today, I don't know, and I probably will. And I have in the past. And I still have the victory today. But there's nothing that I have to face alone. I don't have to face it alone. I don't have to deal with it alone. I don't even have to face it or deal with it with my understanding. The peace of God passeth all understanding. It transcends above the understanding of the human mind. We just need to apply these things, don't we? The peace of God. And then, of course, I want to read this one too. Finally, brethren. Paul gets down here to the finally. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now I want you to ask yourself while we read this verse, is this how I handle life? Is this how I handle the thoughts that come to my mind? Do I entertain them? Thoughts that I shouldn't entertain? Or do I draw nigh to God? So he'll draw nigh to me and get those thoughts out of my mind and rebuke the devil. Because he can be rebuked in the name of Jesus. Whatever things are true. There's a lot of falsehood out there today, isn't there? A lot of falseness. A lot of deceit that is in our world today. But he said, brethren, this is you and I. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Folks, these will cause us to have good thoughts, proper thoughts. They will help construct the kind of thoughts we do have. That they will be good thoughts. That they will be pleasing to God. And that they won't harm our souls and harm our mind. You know, the mind, we all know this too. That's the battleground. That's the battleground. God makes his plea. The devil makes his plea. It's all in the mind. You know, I see people going out there today and they're doing all kinds of disturbing things, and they're naming it this and they're naming it that. Folks, it isn't what they're doing. It isn't even what they're saying. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart. That's the problem. People got heart problems. And you won't go to St. Elizabeth Hospital and get it fixed either. You've got to go to Jesus Christ and get your heart problem fixed. People aren't willing to do that today. Whatsoever things are lovely. Doesn't these things sound good to think about? Don't they sound positive in this old negative world that we live in? Let's think positive thoughts. Let's think clean and good thoughts. Keep our minds in the right place. Keep our thoughts and minds heavenward. Whatsoever things are of good report. Oh, folks. Don't listen. Don't listen to those things that are not of good report. Don't listen to the tattletales. Don't listen to all these people that want to go around spreading gossip and rumors. Don't listen to those kind of things. You know, I know we live in this world, and I myself, I listen to the news once in a while, but it isn't good. It isn't good. And if you listen to it too much and you start believing that stuff, folks, your mind, you're going to have trouble in your mind. You're going to have trouble with your thoughts. And I think that's where the Lord, why the Lord has impressed that upon our hearts today, folks. We need to bring our thoughts. I'm going to read that verse under the obedience of Christ. We need to bring our thoughts into subjection. Think of those things that are pure. Good report. Things that are virtuous. Things that are praiseworthy. You know, I want my thoughts, when they begin to wonder, I want them to bring me back to God. I want them to bring me back to God. I always, ever want to be in His presence with His hand upon me and His protection and His safety in this world. And He said, all those things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God, or the God of peace, shall be with you. Oh, I thank the Lord for that today, folks. I'm under God's umbrella of protection. That's where I want to be. I don't want to do anything foolish to get out from under that umbrella. I need God's protection. This is a dangerous world that we live in. Not only because of the obvious things, but because of the thoughts that the enemy wants to present even to us. How do you get in a funk? How do you get in a dark mood? How do you get discouraged? By thinking on these things? No. By listening to the devil. By thinking on things that you shouldn't be thinking on. Rebuke it. Rejoice in the Lord. And I say, always again I say unto you, rejoice. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can do that. I want to turn to that scripture. It's 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Is that right? Yes. 2 Corinthians 10, in the 3rd verse, Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. We're all in the flesh, folks. We'll be in the flesh till the Lord takes us home. But he said, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know what your strongholds are today? What areas, what places in your mind does the enemy have control over you? Imaginations? He said casting down imaginations. That's a big nation, isn't it? People can imagine a lot of things. Have you ever gotten in a situation where you just didn't know how things were going and you let your imagination run away with you, and the next thing you know, you had yourself in such a mess, you wasn't going to be able to get out of it? That's just imagination. How many times have people worried about things that never even happened? Casting down some things, folks. Destroying some things. That's what casting down means. Destroying those imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity. We have to do that. That's our part. You bring that into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Can I say it again? Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul said, and again, I say unto you, rejoice. We are in a Christian warfare today. We all know that. We're fighting for our lives. May the Lord help us in our minds to keep the proper focus where it ought to be. Where ought it to be? Jesus Christ. When Peter started looking at the waves and took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. You and I will too. Casting down imaginations. Bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Folks, if you believe that you belong to Jesus today, if you believe you're His child, you know that He's going to fight for you, don't you? I mean, it's going to be a battle all the way out. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent must take it by force. But the Lord's going to fight for us. Just like He did the three Hebrew children. Just like He did David. Just like He did all those folks back in those days. He's going to fight for us if we belong to Him and He belongs to us. He's going to fight our battles. We already heard in Sunday school, there isn't any power or anything within us. It takes God. And it's going to take God to get us through. You know, those thoughts that the enemy brings to us that causes us to doubt, causes us to fear like Peter had, causes us maybe to do things like following afar off. The devil will do everything he can to draw us away from God. Everything that he can to draw us away from God. We can let the news of the day affect our peace. You can let it do that. You can listen to the conspiracy theories. You can listen to all the stuff that's out there. Some of it may even be true. But there isn't anything you can do about it. But there's something God can do about it. Oh, Daniel stands out in my mind in so many ways. But when I think of him getting down in sackcloth and ashes before God, putting aside his everyday meals, and calling upon God in behalf of his people that was already in bondage, asking God forgiveness for how they turned their back on God, for how they went after the idols, for how they apostatized away from the presence of God. He asked God for forgiveness for his people. He even threw himself in there and asked God for mercy. And you know, I believe God is pleased with that kind of prayer. He sent an angel. He sent an angel to minister to Daniel. He said, when you first started, I heard you. But the angel had a battle somewhere else before he could come. But the angel came. God sent an angel. Folks, God will minister to you and I. He ministered to Jesus several times when he was in distress and in hard and difficult places. I'm not going to tell you the life of Christ is a life of ease. Jesus said, any man follow, come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Folks, there's a cross involved. Someone was telling me up in Duncannon last week said they knew of a church or heard of a church that they didn't even take their Bibles to church. Folks, you can take the Bible, you can call it church if you want to, but you can't get to heaven without a cross. You're going to have a cross. Every one of us. Your cross is yours, it isn't mine. My cross is mine, it's not yours. I don't want to shorten that cross either. I want to be willing. By the grace of God, I want to be willing to go wherever the Lord would have me to go in my life, in my heart. When the Lord shows me a need that Larry has, and God says, you know, I've let you get by with this all these years. Now he said, I want it out of there. I want to deal with it. I want you to conquer that thing. I want to be willing to conquer. I want to be willing to say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. More of your presence, more of your peace, more of your glory, more of your power. I want that, Lord. And when he's so gracious enough to show me right where my need is, oh, I want to fall on my face. Believe me, I have. And ask God for grace and for victory to conquer that thing, to get power over that thing. Paul said he's still working on us. He's still working on us. But folks, you have to bring into captivity every thought. It's up to me to bring that thing into captivity, to get rid of it, to rebuke the devil. You know, the devil knows how you're wired. He knows how you're wired. He knows how to push. You've heard that said before, husbands and wives. The devil knows how to push your hot buttons. He knows how to get you upset. He knows how to disturb your peace. He knows how to do that, folks. He does. So it's up to me, when the devil comes along to try to do that, is to bring that thought under the obedience of Christ. Cast it out. Destroy it. That's what he said here. That's for me to do by the power of God, by the grace and the strength of God in my life. He went on and said in the 7th verse, do you look on things after the outward appearance? That was a question. Folks, we will get in trouble more than not if we look on things at the outward appearance. That's where the devil will magnify and work in our imaginations when we look on things after the outward appearance. I'd like to look at a scripture where Jesus, I know we know it. I don't know how often we refresh our memory. Jesus being tempted in the 4th chapter of Matthew. It's not the only book that has it, but it's the one I would like to use. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, folks, if he tempted him, you think he'll tempt us? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Ain't any of us here, I feel quite sure I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But he did. And when he finished, he was hungry. I would say he was famished. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. He knows right where to hit us, doesn't he? He knows right where the weakest. He knows where we're the weakest. And his temptation, he'll come in. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll come in like a flood sometimes. And he met the Lord here. He knew he was hungry. Command these stones to be made bread. He also knew he could do that too. He knew he could. But of course, before he even asked him that, he wanted to imply, put a little doubt there if he could, if thou be the Son of God. You think the devil didn't know who he was? He knew well who he was. Is he an accuser of the brethren? Yes, he is. Could you wake up tomorrow morning after not having done anything wrong today and tonight, and wake up tomorrow morning, the devil tell you you're not saved? Absolutely. That's just the kind of scoundrel he is. If thou be. I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows you, but the devil does too. You got to be honest with the devil. You got to let him know right where you stand. What you will and you won't do. What you will allow and what you'll not allow. Rejoice always, Paul said. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be he, give up. If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The Lord even has a devil quoting scriptures, doesn't he? Devil can quote scriptures. He don't always get them right. But he'll quote the scriptures. The devil even trembles. Scripture tells us that. The devil trembles too. Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, then there was another temptation, taking him up, showing the kingdom of the world, said he'd give him everything that already belonged to him in the first place. Jesus seemed to face greater tests. Shall I say, stronger temptation because of who he was than you and I will ever face. You and I will never face that. But he was truly the Son of God. And the quicker we learn to utilize, as Jesus did, the Scriptures to defeat the enemy, the more we'll be able to put him to flight. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God. Jesus used some power on him, didn't he? He used some power on the enemy. Folks, that's all you and I have, is God's power with us. Use the scriptures to rebuke the enemy when he comes and tempts you and tries you. It's the power of God, folks, unto salvation. You know, some people look at this temptation and they say, well, he was divine and he couldn't sin. And that is well so. But I want to tell you this morning that the attack against his humanity was genuine. The attack against his humanness was genuine and it was real. And I believe it would have overcome any ordinary man. You take a canoe and go out and attack a battleship. You all know what the outcome is going to be, don't you? The poor canoe is probably going to be blown out of the water. But the fact is, the attack was real. And it's the way you and I are. You and I, the little canoes. The devil comes along and attacks us. And he's got some power. But folks, we can have some power in that canoe to withstand all the power that the enemy has. Because I heard in Sunday school this morning, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's still real. And you've still been attacked. The devil's rebellion against God been going on since time, hasn't it? And it's real. But the devil was defeated, folks, in Christ's atonement on the cross. You and I have battles, and we have trials and tests of life. And we're fighting for our eternal souls, but we're fighting from victory, praise the Lord. You've got to keep your mind focused. Guard your mind. When you guard your mind, you will guard your heart. You're guarding your heart when you guard your mind. Don't let those things that the enemy wants to bring into your mind, don't let them get that far. Cast them out. Destroy them, Paul said. We read that. Destroy those things. Don't let them get that far. I appreciate what Jesus did for us. I know we all do. His victory over the enemy is related to His use of the Scriptures. Use the Word of God. Use it. Use it. Read it. No wonder Paul said, study. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, we're not Jesus. And we haven't fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And we weren't tempted like He was. But our temptations are just as real. They're just as real. I don't care who you are, He's going to tempt you with something. Because He knows your weaknesses. He knows where He can come and maybe present Himself in a way that might get your interest. Like He did Judas. Like He did Judas. Like He did Samson. Guard your desires. Guard your heart. Guard those things that you look at and that you see in this world today. Guard them. I'd like to look at another scripture here in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Fifth chapter of Matthew in the 29th verse. Jesus is teaching a lesson here. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If your right eye offend you, cut it off. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Our duty, our responsibility, our warfare that we face every day, folks, our duty to our soul is to subdue fleshly lusts. You say, well, I'm saved and sanctified. Your flesh isn't. Our job, every day. Paul said, I keep under my body, didn't he? And bring it into subjection. Our duty is to subdue the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The eye and the hand here in the Scriptures that Jesus is talking about, that's not the source of sin, is it? The heart is the source. It's not the eye and the hand. I'll admit, or I'll agree that it would be better for a person to be physically maimed than to go to hell forever. But folks, it's the heart that Jesus is talking about here. He's saying that I must bring my passions or the desires of my heart under the control of the Spirit of God. I must do that. I must conquer self daily because we face the enemy daily. Turn over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians again. The 4th chapter this time. You all know this one real well too. was talking about the power of God in Sunday school this morning. In the verse 7, it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," that's us, "that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us." Folks, I don't know what to tell you except live as close to God as you possibly can. Don't see how much of the world you can hold on to and hold on to God. Let go of the world and live as close to God as you possibly can. If you don't, you're going to have a rough road to hoe. Get a hold of God. Let Him be the everything in your life. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, we're troubled on every side. You know, people, my phone's been really busy this past week. People with problems. People with troubles. You could probably tell me yours. Brother Rick's transmission went out on his vehicle. We have problems all the time, don't we? It kind of helps us make us know that we're still alive. If you're living, you're going to have problems. And you're going to have troubles. And when those problems arise, don't let that mind run away with you, folks. Keep your peace. Keep your peace. Don't fall apart. Don't let the enemy cause you to fear and to doubt and say, "Oh no, what's going to happen now?" Has God ever failed you? He's never failed me, folks. God will never fail you. He can't. He can't fail you. Because He's promised us too many good things. He said, "I'll be a very present help in every time of trouble." Oh, we're troubled, He said, on every side. And the Lord said, "I'll be a very present help." Do you believe that this morning? I do. You know, there's been times that I might get a little distressed. He said, "We're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed." I've gotten a little stressed a little bit. But you know, when I go to prayer and I get up from prayer, the Lord delivers that. And lets me know I got it well in hand. They got a little sign on the board out there in Duncannon in their little chapel that says, "Hello." Said, "You won't need to be worrying about anything today. I'm going to handle all your affairs. And I won't need you to take care of them." It was signed, "God." He'll handle your affairs, folks. He'll take care of you. But it's when we want to take control, see. We get it in our minds, "Oh, I got to work something out here. I got to make something happen here." We take it out of God's hands. You know what happens? You lose your peace. You lose your joy. And you forget to rejoice. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." That means even in the dark times, doesn't it? In the bad times. We all have problems. We all face distressing things in this world. We're probably going to face a lot more. But He said, "We're perplexed, but we're not in despair." Do you see the darkness and you see the light in this? Perplexed is darkness, but we're not in despair because of the light of God flowing, shining down in our hearts. Because we're trusting Him and we've turned it over to Him. That's why I'm not in despair. I know I can't handle this thing in the first place. God, I got to give it to You. I got to bring my will into submission to Your will. Whatever You want to do with this, Lord, whatever You want to do with it. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. God is still looking for examples He's still looking for ambassadors. He's still looking for faithfulness in His people. But I want to say this morning that if you can't handle your thoughts and you don't keep the right perspective, you're going to really struggle in your faithfulness to God. There's people today, we see it all the time, that are so struggling with their own affairs, they don't even seem to be able to reach out and help others with their needs and with their burdens. And Bible plainly tells us in Galatians 6 and 1, bear ye one another's burdens. No, 6 and 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Some of us been going this way for a long time, still struggling, bearing my own burdens. And I just really don't have enough strength and grace to help others right now. Lord, help us, folks. I don't know what all God... Well, I better be careful how I say that. There's a lot of things that God is going to require from His people. But I'll tell you what, at the judgment day, He's going to require what we did know and what we did understand. And did you do them? Did you do them? Were you faithful? To be saved this morning is a wonderful thing. I'm so happy to be saved. But folks, is it enough? Jesus came here saved. Is it enough? No, He went to a cross and died that all of us could be saved. And we ought to have a burden in our hearts that others, those that are not saved, not look down at them, but have a burden for them and care about them, that they be saved too. May the Lord bless us today. You know, I had another scripture. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm going to finish. But I thought about, and I will speak of it. It's found in Romans 11 chapter. It talks about how Elijah, when he ran for his life, when the contract was put on him, Jezebel put a contract on him and said, tomorrow about this time, he told the Lord. He said, they killed all the prophets, they've done all this, and I'm the only one left. He entertained some thoughts, didn't he? The Lord didn't tell him that. Oh, I'm the only one left. Saints, you're not the only one left. There's others. God has other children. He has other people that are endeavoring to live for Him. Elijah said, I'm the only one left. Take my life. And he said, I got news for you, boy. There's over 7,000 people that's never bowed their knee to the eyes of the idol of Baal. Folks, God's got His army. He's got an army of people that are endeavoring to stand true and faithful. But Elijah got it in his mind. Oh, woe is me, and it's all over. And does that sound like the way the enemy presents himself? Sure it is. The Lord said, no, you're entertaining the wrong thoughts. I got over 7,000 that's never bowed that old while. May the Lord help us today. Be sure. Be sure that the thoughts that you are willing to entertain are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are of good report. Whatsoever things are of good virtue. That's the kind of thoughts that you and I are to entertain. So it's not so much what I'm thinking, but how I got there. What's causing me to think that way? Is it something in here? Is it something I need to deal with personally? Or am I looking at things out there and letting the world influence me? Do you know, people are pretty fickle. You ever meet a new person and you just something about them, you didn't like the way they looked and so you started having thoughts? Folks, God made every one of us whether you like the way we look or not. And it shouldn't have anything to do with whether we want to win their souls for the kingdom of heaven. But thoughts come. Ideas come. Maybe this, maybe that. My thought this morning, God is still on His throne. He's still high and lifted up, folks. He's still there. He still cares. And He's still faithful to our souls. Be encouraged, folks. Guard your heart by guarding your mind. God will take care of you. God will bless you, and God will keep you in your battles. Amen.